I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of John in the 7th chapter. The Gospel of John in the 7th chapter. We come tonight to the life of blessing. And after that moving time under the power of the Holy Spirit last evening, I'm sure there are hungry hearts here tonight just to take all that God has, just to receive by faith all that there is for you in the Holy Spirit. And we want to read from verse 37, please. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now just a word of prayer together. Lord Jesus, we still our hearts in thy presence as we turn from all that has occupied our minds and our lives throughout another day in order that thou should speak to us in these holy moments. We claim right now the illumination of the Holy Spirit to make real to us not only thy presence, but thy message to our hearts. We pray not only for the fullness and anointing of the Spirit for those of us who minister, but for those of us who listen, that nothing less than that which thou hast purposed to do may take place in this service tonight. Because we ask it for thy dear name's sake. Amen. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The Feast of Tabernacles was the longest, most elaborate and most joyous of all Jewish festivals. It was the seventh of the feasts throughout a year. It lasted some 8 days. And as we understand from the early practice in those days when Jesus walked and talked in Palestine, that this particular feast had a twofold significance. There was a historical significance in that it commemorated the wanderings of the children of Israel through the wilderness before they settled in the promised land, and particularly God's dealings with them in faithfulness in the provision of that miraculous stream of water that followed them, the smiting of the rock and the water that sprang out therefrom. It was a feast that God commanded they should celebrate and commemorate. There was another significance, an agricultural one, for it was the Feast of Ingathering, as it was called, the Day of Our Gladness, when all the harvest was gathered together. That's why they never lived in homes during that whole week, but rather lived in booths made of willows and palm leaves, and rejoiced together at the ingathering of God's goodness through the harvest. There is one particular function every day throughout those 7 days, and particularly on that last day, the 8th day of the feast, that I believe gave occasion to the words that we're going to consider here tonight. Apparently, every single day, as the people gathered together with their willows and palm trees and marched round the altar, that great altar in the temple courts, the priest called them to action and took that great procession singing down to the pool of Siloam with his golden pitcher, having plunged that pitcher into the water and drawn from the waters of Siloam. He came back through the water gate as the people chanted that great word in Isaiah, therefore, we shall with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation. As they came to the temple and that water was poured out upon that altar, the great Hallel was sung, Psalms 113 to 118, with musical accompaniment, with the great choir of the Levites. It was a dramatic moment, a moment of great pageantry. And of that last day, all this was done except that 7 times over they circled round that altar to commemorate that great journey around the walls of Jericho before they fell flat. And at that moment, there were shouts of triumph, a moment of great tenseness, great pageantry, dramatic vividness. And it's in that moment, many believe, that the Lord Jesus Christ, having stood on the periphery of that great crowd and watched all this ceremony, watched all this pageantry without life, couldn't restrain himself another moment, it seems. And with a loud voice, the Greek suggests emotion and volume, he cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. It was as if the Lord Jesus said, what you need amidst all this deadness is living water. My friends, I can't imagine a greater picture of Christendom today. Never was there an hour when there was more ceremony, ritualism, pageantry, machinery, activity, and yet death. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to a church today that's just as dead. Yes, in many instances, as that ceremony and pageantry of those temple hours, he's standing and he's challenging an entire Christendom today. Yes, and it may be lives here tonight that know nothing of that fullness of the Spirit of which we were singing. He's saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Quoting from the great scriptures of Ezekiel, quoting from that great word from Zechariah, the Lord Jesus is saying again in this very tabernacle tonight, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. The streams of living water shall pour upon everyone who is willing to meet God's terms. My friends, tonight Jesus is standing amongst us and he's sharing with us what I'm going to call tonight the source of this fullness of blessing, the secret of this fullness of blessing, the sufficiency of this fullness of blessing. Before we go any further, are you thirsting for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life tonight? Are you really? He's here to release those living waters in all his risen power. I'm going to invite you to come with me and take all he has for you. You met the terms of discipleship last night, did you? You bowed to the discipline of a sovereign Lord, did you? You're wide open to all God has for you, are you? Then come with me. Consider first of all the source of this fullness of blessing. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Dr. Alexander McLaren says, of all utterances heard by human ears, this is the most magnificent and wonderful saying found in the scriptures. And I understand why he says that. The Lord Jesus stands back, as it were, from those whom he is willing to satisfy, whose thirst he is ready to assuage, and he says, come unto me, believe into me. A German of great insight and a mighty exponent of the scriptures said on one occasion, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew no greater task than to point men and women to himself. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what did the Lord Jesus mean by that? We're not left in any doubt, for the Holy Spirit, through John, interprets the words of the Savior. He that believeth into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, what does John mean by the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does the Lord Jesus mean to us in terms of this very hour? In respect of his glorification, there is no doubt about it. We haven't to leave even the Gospel of John to understand this. We've been hearing it all week. The glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ has reference, first of all, to his crucifixion, to his Calvary death. The Savior said, as he looked into the eyes of his disciples and some of those Greeks who were standing by, Father, Father, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Father, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Ladies and gentlemen, here tonight, the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ has reference, first of all, to his crucifixion. Before God can pour forth those waters upon him that is thirsty, before God could fill that life of yours tonight that's prepared to bow to the discipline of Jesus Christ, before you could go out of this place tonight full of the Holy Ghost, Jesus must needs be crucified. The holy rock must needs be smitten. Before God can pour out Pentecost, there must be a Calvary. Before God can pour out his Spirit upon your life, the issue of sin must be dealt with. God's broken law, man's corrupt nature must be dealt with, and it must be dealt with by a fit person. And that fit person was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God's rock, smitten, that the waters might pour forth. My friend, tonight, before you can know the fullness of the Holy Ghost in your life, stepping back just into last night for a moment again, you must know a personal Calvary in your life. You must know a personal Calvary in your life. You must expect God here tonight to sentence everything that is named S-I-N. If you're prepared to accept all that Calvary spells out in terms of its judgment on sin in your life, you're going to find, my friend, that through that cross and through that smitten rock, because of Calvary, in other words, the waters will flow. Are you prepared to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior who was crucified for you in order that sin might be dealt with in your life, that sin should not reign in your mortal bodies? Somebody says to me here tonight, what is sin in terms of a Christian life? quite apart from the fact that I know that this nature of mine must come under the domination of a Savior Christ in me, what constitutes sin in the believer's life? My friend, sin in the believer's life is anything that is disobedient. Sin is the transgression of the law. And anything in your life tonight which is a transgression of the revealed will of God for your life in any kind of relationship whatsoever is sin. That must come under the cross. Sin is not only a disobedient act, sin is a disloyal act. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if there's anyone in this audience tonight who is living in disloyalty to the Son of God, the waters won't flow. They won't. They won't. They won't. Sin is anything disloyal in your life. Sin, in the third place, so far as a believer is concerned, is any doubtful act. Yes, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if in your life tonight you have doubt about some friendship, you have doubt about some reading, you have doubt about some attitude to another believer, you have doubt about anything at all, and it's not of faith, it's sin. Jesus was crucified and smitten in order, first of all, that he might cleanse, in order to fill. Are you prepared tonight to bring that life under the judgment of the cross? Are you? Are you? Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. It was the glory of the cross, of his crucifixion. When the Lord Jesus said, he that cometh to me, he that believeth into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, was pointing to himself first of all as the Savior who would be crucified. But he must not only be the Savior who would be crucified, he must be the Sovereign who would be crowned. For the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ refers not only to his crucifixion, it refers to his coronation. Ah, says the Hebrew writers, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. Tonight, my friends, Jesus has not only been crucified, he has been crowned. He's there at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that's why the Spirit of God has been poured forth. He must not only be crucified, he must be crowned. He said himself, nevertheless, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, I will not send the Comforter unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And what happened historically by his going to the throne and receiving the promise of the Father and pouring out the Spirit of life for all believers must happen in terms of experience. Jesus must not only be the Christ of the cross in my life, he must be the Christ of the throne in my life. Not only must sin be dealt with in my life, but self must be dealt with in my life. Not only must I bring every sin under the judgment of the cross, but I must bring every element of self under the judgment of the throne. Throne life is full life in Christ. And if that self-life tonight has any part upon that throne, dethrone self and enthrone Christ, and the waters will flow. Are you prepared for that, my friend? Are you prepared for that? It simply means singing and meaning from the depths of your heart tonight, witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou hast bought me to possess me in thy fullness. Lord, come in. Do you want revival? Do you want the fullness of blessing in your life? This is the source, the Lord Jesus himself, the precious, matchless Lord Jesus Christ himself, my crucified Savior, my crown sovereign. Are you coming with me? Are you as far as that?
If your answer is yes, my friend, you won't go out unblessed tonight. You won't go out unblessed. Lord Jesus, there is nothing in my life at this moment that's grieving thee. All sin has come under the judgment of thy cross, has been exposed by confession. Thou art faithful and just to forgive. Lord Jesus, self has been dethroned deliberately that thou, crowned sovereign, should reign upon the throne of my heart, undisputed and unqualified. Lord Jesus, be thou my source of the fullness of blessing. But Jesus went further, and he taught not only the source of this fullness of blessing, but the secret of this fullness of blessing. And I know no more vivid, dramatic, meaningful words to describe what is the threefold secret of the fullness of blessing, assuming and asserting tonight that Christ is Savior and Sovereign in my life, as the three little words in our text. Here they are: if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. All the secret is gathered up in those little words: thirst, come, drink. Thirst, come, drink. That little word thirst, how shall we put it? It just means desiring first the person of Christ. Desiring the person of Christ. Desiring him and all his saviorhood and sovereignty in my life, but desiring him more than anything else tonight. If any man thirst, and I want you to notice this little word thirst. In the East, this is a word that carries all kinds of connotations, but supremely that heart cry of the soul to God. All the Old Testament saints knew about it. Oh God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so thirsteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for the living God. It's the picture of a wounded heart. He's brought to bay. He can't move. He's run until he's parched. The sun has made the animal absolutely delirious, and with a bellow that can be heard right over across the land, with a tongue hanging out, it bellows out. That's the meaning, we're told. That's why David uses it: as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee. I'm going to ask you here tonight, my friend, are you thirsty like that for Jesus Christ? Now come now, no more fooling. No more pretending that you're interested in spiritual things. I'm asking you, my friend, are you as thirsty as that for your Lord today? Are you prepared tonight to say, Lord, from the depths of my being, without any hypocrisy at all, recognizing thee as Savior, recognizing thee as Sovereign, I desire thee more than anything else in all the world. Thou art the object of my hunger and thirst tonight. I believe this is what the Savior had in mind in that tremendous word in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And I'm going to put a test to you tonight here. And I'm going to put this test to you in the words of our Savior. There isn't any single person, not a single person in this place tonight, not a young person, not an older person, need go out of this place without absolute fullness of blessing, without absolute satisfaction on the very promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The desiring of the person of Christ. The desiring of the person of Christ. Lord Jesus, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, I turn to thee, unfilled again. I thirst after thee, Lord. Is that your heart cry tonight? Is that your heart cry? Desiring the person of Christ. But in the second place, believing the promise of Christ. believing the promise of Christ. As my soul goes out to Jesus, my Savior, sovereign for the fullness of blessing tonight in the Holy Ghost, I believe his promise. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him come unto me. And all scholars are agreed that the word come there is interpreted a little further down in verse 38 and on, where he says, and he that believeth into me. It's the same idea. As the scripture hath said, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. As I come to him tonight, desiring him, am I going to believe him? As I come desiring his person, am I going to believe his promise? As the scripture hath said. All through the Bible, scattered everywhere, are these great and precious promises concerning the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. All the promises are yea and amen in him, and through him also, by us, we give glory to God. Are you prepared tonight to say, Lord, you promised the blessing? You promised the blessing. You promised the fullness of the Spirit to everyone who desires thee. And I stretch out upon that promise tonight. I believe that promise tonight. I take that promise tonight. And I enter into fullness. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for that? You remember that in the early church, this is all they had. This is all they had. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. And gather together as we are here of one accord. Then in the upper room, here we are in this tabernacle tonight, having cleansed their hearts by prayer and the word of God, and having waited for the promise of the Father, God broke through from heaven and gave them the fullness of the Spirit. Are you prepared for that promise of the fullness? But there's another aspect to this, and I want you to get this particularly. Not only have we here the word thirst, that's desiring the person of Christ. Come, that's believing the promise of Christ. But the other word, drink, that's receiving the power of Christ in the Holy Ghost. Drink. Drink. Oh, what a vivid word. Drink. Weymouth, in his translation of Ephesians 5:18, says, be ye being filled with the Spirit as we have it, he says, can be translated, drink deeply of the Spirit of God. Drink deeply of the Spirit of God. Now, don't mistake me. Nobody can ever be born again without having received the person of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit into a person's life is absolutely the moment he is born again. It synchronizes with that identical moment of new birth. And when the Holy Spirit comes into a man's life, into a woman's life, he comes in his totality. The Holy Spirit never comes into a person's life by installments. He comes in his totality. The Holy Spirit has come. But there's no doubt about it. Right throughout the scripture, there are indications that having received the person of the Holy Spirit once and for all, we go on receiving his power, we go on receiving his blessing, we go on receiving his fullness to the extent of a widening and deepening capacity within our lives. So that the Christian life is never a fixation point. There's no stagnation. The fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life today should be infinitely greater than yesterday. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life tomorrow should be infinitely greater than today. I go on receiving. Drink and go on drinking, says Jesus. Drink and go on drinking. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is with his teaching in Luke chapter 11, when he said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, not the Holy Spirit, there is no article in the Greek there, give Holy Spirit, which indicates not the person so much as his blessings and his fullness and his power. This is what came upon those wonderful early disciples on the day of Pentecost in that superabundant fashion. not only his person, but his endowment, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Tell me, do you know that in your life, my friend? Do you know that in your life? You see how gloriously simple it is? There is no child in this place tonight who, following me, cannot see the vividness and simplicity of this language. Thirst, come, drink. Thirst, come, drink. Desire the person of Christ. Believe the promise of Christ. Receive the power of Christ. Stretch forth by faith and say, Savior, Sovereign, Thou whose right it is to bestow the fullness of blessing, I trust Thee tonight by coming to Thee the person, by believing Thy promise, by receiving Thy power in the Holy Ghost. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do that? He's waiting to bestow this glorious blessing to everyone who knows what it is to be born again. To everyone who has actually accepted the Holy Spirit at conversion by trust in Jesus, that power and fullness which are your heritage. That's why Paul says to people who knew already what it was to be born again, already what it was to be sealed, already what it was to have the evidence of the earnest, already knew what it was to be strengthened by the Spirit, already knew what it was to grieve the Holy Spirit on occasions. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Now, my friend, all this I've said in order to show you what can happen in this place tonight, what can happen in this place tonight if you're prepared, first of all, to come to the source, then to act upon the secret of thirsting, coming, drinking. I want to speak in these closing moments on what I'm calling the sufficiency of the fullness of this blessing. Ah, said the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth into me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And this is going to be the acid test to all of us here tonight as to whether or not we have ever, ever stretched out upon the promise of Jesus, stretched out upon his glorious offer of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Here are the two thoughts I have in the sufficiency, the glorious sufficiency of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. First of all, it's a lasting sufficiency. Will you notice that? An inexhaustible sufficiency. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers. Not tricklets, not rivulets, not little trickles down the mountainside, but rivers. Yes, my friend, all the great Mississippis, all the great Danubes, all the great Niles, all the great Congos, all the great rivers put together, rivers of living water. Just imagine what would happen in this tabernacle tonight. Oh, God grant it. What would happen here tonight and all across the world if out of our innermost being were released the rivers of living water? You long tonight for the river of power in your life, do you? You long tonight for the river of power in your life? Let me remind you again of Acts 1 and 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says, a Christian who does not witness is an absolute contradiction. An eye that does not see light, an ear that does not hear sound, a life that does not respond to the environment around is no more a contradiction than a Christian who does not witness. Why? Because having received the power of the Holy Ghost, it's absolutely inevitable. The world is absolutely finished with the cold, calculating dogmatism of dead religion. The world is unimpressed with proud, calculated intellectualism with all its pride. The world is absolutely unimpressed, I repeat, not impressed with lives that don't carry authority in purity and chastity. The world is waiting for men who have authority upon them. The world is waiting for fellows and girls, men and women, who never have to apologize in any kind of situation on earth, whether in the home or the business or the church. There is an authority and a humility that clothes them, that marks them out with distinctiveness, and everywhere they go, God is upon their lives. That's what makes the world believe. Not apologetics, not the digging up of these great theories that are being propagated throughout our fundamental or evangelical world today, but a life that's utterly clothed with authority. That's the life that cuts. That's the life that counts. That's the life that makes the impression. Let's face it. Let's face it. What won the world to Jesus Christ in those first 30 years of her history? Men. Men with the authority of the Spirit upon their lives. You long for that river in your life, my friend? Jesus said, he that believeth into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Somebody says, but I long for the river of love. I long for the river of love. My friend, I want to tell you that it's in the Holy Ghost and only in the Holy Ghost that the rivers of love find their source, because it's the Holy Spirit who channels from the Savior's heart inside those rivers of living water. The Holy Ghost is the only one who can unseal the springs within your heart. Why? The love of God, says Paul in the 5th of Romans, the love of God is shed abroad to a flood tide. Shed abroad to a flood tide. The love of God is shed abroad to a flood tide by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. I'm telling you, if we need power in the church today, we need love in the church today. That melting, moving love that sweeps people to the feet of Jesus. I can't forget the Sunday school visitor who went to look up a boy who hadn't returned to class. The statistics were down. Something had gone wrong and the boy hadn't returned. And he quietly told the teacher that he had gone to another Sunday school. And when the teacher persisted and asked why he had gone to another Sunday school, the little fellow looked up, sensitive, ill-clad, poor little fellow, longing for love, not finding it at all in his home, bereft most of the time on the streets. He looked up and with a tear in his eye and pointing to the church he had joined, he said, "They loves the fellow over there. They loves a fellow over there." That's what's going to win people. That's what's going to win people. Not the cutting dogmatism and cutting criticism and destructive way in which so much of our church work is done, but the love of Jesus. Oh, that gentle, tender, sweet love of Jesus. Oh, Savior, pour out that love tonight. Pour out that love into hearts here tonight. Oh, melt and move us, Lord. Move us until our icy cold hearts melt under thy love, the river of love. You long for joy in your life? You really long for joy in your life? My friend, the river of joy is the river of the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy! In the Holy Ghost, I'm not talking about lightness. I'm not talking about frivolity. I'm not talking about happiness, which depends on happenings. I'm talking about a deep, deep well of joy that's inexhaustible. I'm talking about the kind of joy that's characterized every true revival, that characterized the days of Pentecost. For you remember, it says they continued with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the word gladness there only occurs twice in the New Testament. It means exuberant joy, irrepressible joy. There was such a joy about these people that they were irresistible with their attractiveness wherever they went. The river of joy. Oh, the river of joy. Oh, for radiance, radiance in the Christian church. The river of joy. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I want to ask, is the river of power flowing from your life? Is there an authority in your life, in your home, over your children, over your wife-husband relationship? Is there an authority in your business world? Do people drop dead, as it were, in telling a dirty joke because they know they're in the presence of authority? Do they respect your testimony because you're a man of your word with absolute honesty and integrity, punctuality and efficiency, authority? Are you respected in your church as an officer, as a pastor, because you wield an authority which is clothed with humility? Do you know the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Do you really? Do you know the joy, the river of joy, that sweeping torrent of joy in the Holy Ghost? Not meat and drink and banquets and hip hip hurrah round tables in order to work up some kind of feeling in the church or in the club, but that joy that flows all day and every day, the river of joy. Do you know the river of love? Do you know the river of love? Do the little children run into your arms? Are they scared of you? Are people ready to talk to you at any time, anywhere? Because there's a sheer love and tenderness and sweetness. Have you a compassion for the lost? Can you weep over men and women out of Christ? When did you last fill the bottle of God with your tears because you wept over the lost? You really wept over the lost. When has compassion driven you out as a river to seek the lost? When have you stood in a city as Paul did? You remember in that city, absolutely filled with idols until his spirit was stirred in him. And the word is, his spirit was compressed, was pushed into one tremendous stream of burden. Do you know anything about that in your life? We're so anxious today for signs and wonders and all the rest of it, and being detracted entirely from the scriptural procedure and the scriptural teaching concerning the Lord Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit supremely was given in order that we might be rivers of power, rivers of love, rivers of joy to the far ends of the earth with a glorious message of Christ who saves and keeps and satisfies. Have you got that? I conclude by saying that the sufficiency of the fullness of the Holy Ghost is not only a lasting one, for it's rivers in the plural, but it's a living one. It's a living one. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. And I'm persuaded that my Savior was thinking of those chapters that we call 47 and other chapters in Ezekiel, where the picture of a river flowing from the throne of God is depicted. And out from the sanctuary came that river, you remember, that went with deepening and widening influence to all parts of the earth. And the divine record says that whithersoever that river went, whithersoever that river went, everything lived, everything lived, everything lived. And my dear friends here tonight, I want to say the acid test as to whether a man has been filled with the Holy Ghost isn't that he has some strange manifestations. Oh, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. In any case, that's hidden in God's sovereign purpose to handle. That's not my business. The acid test that a man is full of the Holy Ghost is that wherever he goes, he's leaving a stream of life, a stream of life, a stream of life. He goes through a hospital and there are people with shining faces because he's led them to Christ. He meets a crowd of young people and he's left them with life. He goes here to preach and he leaves life. He goes to visit a poor soul in a home, depressed and despairing, and he leaves life. Wherever he goes, it's life, 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 life. Tell me, has that happened in your life? Is it happening in your life? And I care not if you're a preacher. I care not if you don't know how to put sentences together. It's not a matter of whether you can sell a story. It isn't a question of whether you're eloquent or whether you're possessed of rhetorical powers. I'm going to tell you, a man who's full of the Holy Ghost may be the worst stutterer in the world, but something will come through that heart and that personality that will leave life. This is not for the aristocracy of heaven, if there is such a company. This is not for convention speakers. This is not for preachers. This is for boys and girls and men and women, fathers and mothers, for servants and masters. It's the great throne gift, the bequest and bequeathing gift of our Lord Jesus Christ to all who are prepared to receive by faith. Wherever that river went, there was healing. Wherever that river went, there was life. Wherever that river went, there was medicine. Wherever that river went, there was fruitfulness. And I can't think of a greater chapter in which to demonstrate this than the chapter we have just read. So filled with the Holy Spirit was the Lord Jesus Christ, not only from his mother's womb right up to the age of 30, but after that moment of his baptism came the endowment and power of the Holy Spirit anointing that wherever he went, he produced an issue. He never neutralized an individual. He never neutralized the group. He never neutralized the company. He always cut it right down the middle. We read here, they either made decisions or his life made divisions. Yes, they said, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Others said, how can Christ come out of Galilee? And there was a division among the people. He was ever cutting people, as it were, in two, in the sense in which they either had to pick up stones to stone him or they believed on him, but he never left them gospel-hardened. The issue was clear. They believed or they rejected. His life was ever a challenge to anybody and everybody. Is that your life tonight, my friend? That's the acid test of life. Wherever those early disciples went, it was revival or riot. Revival or riot. They never, never left a city without turning it upside down, dividing it right down through the middle. Our ministry has deteriorated to the comforting of people in their sins, to the putting of plaster under suppurating sores, leaving congregations condoned in the rottenness and filthiness, instead of the ministry of authority which comes and pierces the wound and reveals all the filthy matter that's cleansed by the precious, precious blood of Christ in the mighty flow of the Spirit and sending people away healed. We need today a ministry of life. Yes, my friends, it all depends on you. I poured out my heart. And it's for you to go out tonight disillusioned, disappointed, defeated. Or it's for you to go out tonight full of the Holy Ghost. You say, why? Because the source of that fullness is Jesus. Owned as Savior and sovereign in the life. Sin and self mastered by his cross and his throne. You have no excuse tonight because the secret is right here. First, come, drink. One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Lord Jesus, I desire thee tonight in all thy fullness. Lord Jesus, I believe thy promise. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Lord, I believe thy promise. And here and now by faith, I receive the fullness, the power of thy Spirit. And Jesus says, out of your innermost being shall flow lasting waters. Living waters. The river of power, the river of love, the river of joy will flow out of your life. Are you ready to prove him? Are you determined to prove him tonight? Will you come by faith to your Savior sovereign? Desiring him, remember, focus on Jesus, believing his promise, and then receiving his fullness. receiving his fullness, giving the Holy Spirit every key in your life, owning the sovereignty of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to flood every area of your life, every area of your life, every area of your life. No door, no door closed to him, no door. Letting the Holy Spirit flood your life and God's gracious purposes inflow, fullness, overflow in rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. For this I pray, Lord, for this I plead, thy Spirit's fullness flood my soul. Be thou enthroned, Lord, within my heart, and all my yielded life control. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that not a single precious life bowed in this service tonight will go out of this place without the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Lord, this is revival, the pouring forth of thy Spirit upon all flesh is revival. Oh, make it true, Lord. Make it true. Make it true in a fresh way in our lives here upon the platform. Make it true in the lives of everyone in the audience. For thy dear name's sake, amen.